FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in
disguise! Oh,
no, we are on the air.
It says
No, we are on the air. On.
Okay.
It says off the air, though. Off what?
Oh, I'm sorry. It says live. Okay, never mind.
Live. Live and let die. This is TFYLP, episode number 173, recorded October 16th, 2015. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf, along with me this evening from TFCon USA, in Charlotte, North Carolina, Rick Alvarez.
Hello, people of Earth.
And also joining us is Chad Williams, a.k.a. Trans Jazz. Yes. It took me a while. You haven't been on the show in so long, I forgot your username.
Let's take a walk, people, and see this hotel outside. Let's look at this hotel.
Oh, wow. There we go. Wow, that's a long way down. Don't drop your laptop.
The very top, where I belong. It's always amazing to me that at all these events where there's a hotel like this, no one's ever died. I mean, we are a rowdy fandom. We win at drinking. And it's always amazing that no one's just never gone.
Were you there at BotCon in, I believe, 2010 in Orlando?
Yeah.
You remember there was an incident with some soap in a fountain?
I heard about that. I had nothing to do with it. You can't prove anything.
I happen to know the perpetrators. It wasn't
okay, yes.
But
no.
but yeah, that kind of crazy stuff goes on. But yeah, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about TFCon USA. Dealer room setup was this afternoon into this evening, and so there's not a whole lot of news right now to talk about. We'll be talking about that, I'm sure, in coming weeks. I'm sure lots of good official, well, I don't know about official, but maybe some great third party news will be unveiled, and among other things. So we're going to talk a little bit about looking at TFCon USA, preview it a little bit, talk about the dealer room setup. I know Rick said you have a guest with you today.
And yeah, I've got Tony Prado from Tempting Toys. We'll be able to talk to him about his experience setting up at this convention versus setting up at a BotCon or at a convention in Japan. He's one of the he's one of a group of seven people who have been to every single BotCon ever.
Wow.
There's only seven of them left, and he's one of those people.
Headmaster Don, our own Headmaster Don, would be right there with him if he hadn't missed that one show.
Oh, poor Don.
Yes. It's like, well, you snooze and you lose. But we'll talk a little bit about that, and I got some things here in hand. If you've been following the TFYLP Facebook group or Captured Prey, you've been seeing some pictures pop up here the last week or so of some Combiner Wars test shots. I've got them in hand here. This is a scatter shot we've been seeing a lot of. This is the Onslaught, a.k.a. Demolisher head version. It's got the Armada Demolisher head. And then I've got the Combiner Wars Brawl test shot in hand. Talk a little bit about those and kind of preview those. And also BotCon just recently revealed its latest figure, Ramhorn, which a lot of people are looking at that and say, you know, forget Ramhorn, I see Nose Cone there. So, you know, we could be talking a little bit about that. Rick, tell us a little bit about the dealer room, and did you have a safe trip there, obviously? You didn't run over anybody, did you?
No, I had a nice long drive from beautiful scenic Connecticut to the great state of North Carolina. We just enjoyed some delicious Jim and Nick's barbecue right next door to the convention center. I will say this about TFCon. I've been to several TFCons in Canada, in the USA, or USA as I call it. And this is by far the biggest dealer room that TFCon has ever had. It is the most extravagant hotel that TFCon has ever been associated with. And I think this will be their biggest show. The dealer room, it's almost on par with BotCon a few years ago. And it's impressive when you walk in. And it's impressive to see the enthusiasm in that room and how serious people are taking this, that this is essentially, and we can get into why later, but this is where they're going to make the money that they should have made at other shows. And the reason I say that is because there's not the pressure on the attendee to get those $1,000 set of exclusives and then spend the money on the dealer room. You're here for the dealer room. The toys come first, and all the experiences are secondary to that. And I think that's where the success of TFCon has been proven time and time again.
You know, that's a great point. A lot of the exclusives for TFCon are some of the same exclusives that have been for the last two or three TFCons. You know, you got your Masterpiece Shafter, Axis from last year. You know, and a lot of them are just unsold ones, but honestly, you know, they're available. The fact is that they're available, and they are good toys. I mean, depends on, you know, everybody has their tastes, but a lot of them, I've got the Huffer version of that mold, and it's not a bad mold. It's actually quite a nice mold.
You know, as far as the toys goes, what separates this from other shows is that the exclusives are done by other companies, by other people, and there's a variety of exclusives. So people who are into the Masterpiece style figures, they can get their Masterpiece exclusive. People who are into the Generation stuff, there's something for them too. EMOG people. It's not a set like at a BotCon where you have to get these figures from the set, and then you have to get the souvenirs because they complement the figures, and that's what makes the full set. Here, it's a very a la carte style, and I think for this environment, it's more satisfying for the fans.
Go ahead.
Would you say that TFCon models itself more after like a Hartman style BotCon versus a fan pub or a fun pub, sorry.
I wouldn't compare the two. I would not compare EFCon to a Hartman Con. I will say this, and I'm going to talk actually about this in the panel presentation I'm going to give tomorrow, is that for a brand like Transformers, the toys need to come first. And then the IP, then the marketing, then the TV show is based around what the designers create, what that toy is. That's why we have this huge love of G1 and why it's continued then, because it started with the toys, and then the fiction and the show is created around those toys. And I kind of feel like TFCon, it almost mirrors that on the convention stage, where it's about the dealer room. It's about coming and being able to collect. Yeah, there's the camaraderie, and yes, there's the panels and being able to meet certain guests, but toy shows are a dying thing because of the internet. And because of the BotCon model, where you're already out over $1,000 before you even get into the dealer room, this show is really geared more towards the classic style of collector.
Well, something I've noticed with TFCon, and I'm not saying nobody does it for BotCon, but you see it more so with TFCon, like a convention like TFCon, is some of the vendors, which are some of the companies that actually make some of these toys, actually have exclusives for that show.
Yeah, and there's different tiles. There's, as I was saying, there's the Masterpiece exclusives or the Generations style of figures, and it creates an a la carte system for people to not feel pressured to buy every exclusive that's there, unlike a BotCon, where that pressure exists to get every exclusive. It's you buy what you like, and there's no pressure if you miss out on an exclusive.
Well, I know for Chad, go ahead, and if you have a question, I want to pull up some images here, and I'll let you you ask a question if you want.
Well, it's not really a question; it's more of a statement. But the when I compared the Hartman BotCons to the TFCon, I've never been to TFCon personally, which hopefully next year will change. But I've been to BotCon, several Hartman BotCons, and I've been to one or two of the other BotCons, and the a la carte thing that you're talking about, Rick, it felt that way with the Hartmans more so than it does currently.
Yeah, but, you know, when I think about the Hartmans, you know, I think more about, like, that you had that RC, you had that Tigatron. They were both Beast War figures. They both tied into each other. They both tied into the greater set, into the greater Beast Wars universe. Where here you have someone offering a Black Ironhide that ties into Diaclone. You have someone here offering a Generation style Predaking in black. You have someone here offering B-Mod for guys who like to customize or give extra weapons to people. There's not that pressure. It's like, oh, well, I'm a Masterpiece collector, so I can get this Black Ironhide. And there's no pressure if I miss out on that Predaking or a repainted Technobot. That's what I mean by that. I hope that makes sense. Where,
yeah, it does. I think we were coming at it from two different points of view there, and I was actually just stating the fact that, you know, they gave you options with the Hartmans. It wasn't, okay, you got to buy a big box set. You could be a walk-in guy, buy one of the exclusives, and then, you know, walk around the dealer room and, you know, have lots of money to spend in the dealer room versus spending it.
You do have that otherwise. Option, definitely. At you know, a fun pub event, that option is there. But I think people, and I think that's kind of the brilliance of how Brian has structured his convention, is that people feel compelled to get whatever that set is.
And right.
you often see people with pre-orders for something that they don't, they're not sure what they're getting.
Yeah.
Yes.
They don't know there's a set that they're going to pre-order it.
Here's one of the exclusives for, well, it was at a Singapore show, I believe, a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago, and now TFCon USA is getting these from Fans Project. For those of you who are following the Ryu Osaurus, which is an homage to Dino King, they are releasing the shells for the bots, and the first one is Triceratops bot that goes with the first figure Dinoichi. This is the only thing that I've actually asked Orson to pick me up while he was there, because I've got Dinoichi. There's some other ones too. Let's see here, let me try and pull it up. Some other great stuff. I know, what was it? Mastermind Creations has the Nero Rex in stock there. I believe they were offering those for like an insane price of low price for $460 for the whole set, which normally they would go for like $500 to $600. And it's like the black and purple repaint of Fero Rex, which is the Predaking homage. I mean, that thing is like gorgeous. And I know that Mastermind Creations has some of those. I know there's some other people that's got some stuff. Rick, you want to tell us a little bit about what you got planned for Play With Us 2?
Oh, well, our Kickstarter ends this weekend. Regardless of what happens, we're here to enjoy ourselves, and we're here to show off our prototypes. We have them here. We're going to debut the secret parts that we talked about on our Kickstarter in regards to the Seekers. Now, the figures, we said, will all come with a set of secret parts, but we're not going to tell you what they are until you have them in hand. Pending some miracle of the funding gods, unfortunately, I don't think this Kickstarter is going to go through. So I thought, well, let's just share that part with people. Let's just show them what it was. So tomorrow we're gonna put it in the dealer room. But you know what? I happen to have the guys here, and I thought, oh, you know what? Maybe we should debut it here instead. So there it is. The secret set of parts, actually, is an extra set of hands that could be used with Boneyard or Jetstrike.
For the listeners that are listening to the show, Rick has showed a sample of Boneyard, and the exclusive is a set of hands that basically tells people they are number one in California.
There we go.
Yes.
It also tells all the people who plan on saying something disparaging to the Play With tomorrow, thank you for stopping by. So I think it sends a positive message.
You're first in our book.
Thank you for your comment. Please check out the figures. They've got a surprise for you.
Let's see here. Trying to, I'm wondering if anybody from that is actually attending TFCon. I want to throw this out there. Try something a little special. If anyone who is attending TFCon USA this weekend and is there right now and has had a chance to walk around and see a few things, talk to some people. If you're attending TFCon USA and you happen to be able to contact me on Facebook right now, and you're able to get on Google Hangouts, it's an open invitation to have a guest, be a guest on TFYLP. So if you're watching the show right now and you want to be on TFYLP and you're at TFCon USA right now, shoot me a message on Facebook and I'll try to get you in here.
Wow.
I'd like to hear a I'd like to hear a fan's perspective on there, and it's something that we've never done here on TFYLP. Just came to me, you know, hey, let's have a wild fan on here. So we'll see how that goes. See if anybody's watching live, and I know at conventions, you know, watching or listening to podcasts is not exactly number one on people's lists, but who knows? You know, we'll see. So setting up in the dealer room, you said the dealer room is probably the largest that you've seen for a TFCon. Absolutely. How many dealers would you guesstimate being there?
You know, I can't tell if it's more dealers than they've ever had before, but just from the way it's laid out, it really does look like the room is going to be packed with dealers. The middle, all around the sides. TFCon has a history of packing in dealers and putting people in the halls and just trying to make the best experience possible for people. And I think with this venue, this gorgeous venue, I'd be really excited if they did TFCon here again one day. It is a really, really nice hotel and convention center. And I see some people, I see that, you know, you see the usual suspects of dealers that you find at like a BotCon, but they're going all out like they usually do. They're all bringing their A game.
Well, I think this is a good spot to kind of interject this. We do have some sponsors for our show, which happen to be at TFCon USA. CapturePrey.com is going to be there. They have a booth. Go up and check out our sponsor, Capture Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com. You can save even more with a customer loyalty program, and with orders of $150 or more, you can have free shipping. Also, you can maximize your collection while minimizing your... Yes, you can maximize your cost while minimizing... No, minimize your cost while maximizing your collection. Maximize your cost. Yes, I'm sure Megatoy fan wants you to maximize your costs. Now, minimize your cost while maximizing your collection with megatoyfan.com. Also, at TFCon USA, he's got a great selection of vintage toys for you to select from. Be sure to pick one up and throw them at him like popcorn, and tell him that he's short.
And old,
yes. And Batman sucks. Superman is awesome. Batman sucks. But be sure to stop by and see both of those sponsors, and we'll give Tony a chance to pop in here. And I know I've given him some of my money before with Tempting Toys, so give him a chance to talk about it. And
I'll do a brief intro. He's a close friend of mine. But he's been in business for many, many years. TemptingToys.com specializes in Transformers and Godzillas, and Tony is one of the guys who has been to every single BotCon ever. He's been to numerous conventions in Japan, in the UK, Canada. So this is a guy who really knows his stuff, and I think it'll be really interesting to get his perspective on this convention versus others that he's done. So, Tony, let me turn it over to you. Let's switch seats.
Okay. Oh, how you doing? Hello, everybody. I think this is airing live to a bunch of
yes,
people,
it
right?
is. We are live and in charge.
It's airing live.
Okay.
Yes.
Airing live. Hope everybody's doing well. I can see you, but the others I'm not so familiar with. So, I'm Tony Prado. That's temptingcollectibles.com. I couldn't get the URL for temptingtoys.com, so. But that's another story for another day. So, I don't know. I guess ask me what you want, or do you want my kind of opinion of?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, welcome. welcome to TFYLP, and tell the listeners a little bit about your store, and then tell them about what this particular show that you're at now, how it looks to be shaping up compared to previous BotCons and TFCons that you've been to.
Okay, about my business, I've been in business, I don't know, I've been collector for a very, very long time. I think in business about 25 years, Tempting Toys for about, since 97, that's 18 years. I didn't have a very big web presence for quite a while, and Rick's cheering me on. And yeah, I developed that a little bit later than some of the other guys, but I do a lot of my, I do a lot of retail on my site, but mostly Godzilla toys and Transformers, and I do a lot of wholesaling for Transformers and, in Los Angeles, so that's actually the biggest part for the transformer part of my business. But I do retail as well, but not quite on the level as Big Bad Toy Store on those guys, because yeah, I'm mostly wholesaling. So and yeah, I do a lot of business with Godzilla characters. I have a friend in Japan who's made exclusive Godzilla figures for me to sell, and you know, a few guys in Japan to sell for the last 12 years. So I kind of have an understanding of what, how you have to deal with fans and exclusive product, but not with the Transformers fandom. It's more with the Godzilla toy fandom. And that's a whole other thing, so I'm not going to get into that. But so basically with TFF, what I've seen, you know, we just got here this afternoon and loading up. It definitely – I've only done TFCon twice. I've never done the Canada show. I've only done – I did the show in Chicago last year, which is a good location, but definitely looks a lot better this year, because last year I definitely remember the ceiling being very low in the room.
Yeah. We were
in. So I don't know, I wouldn't say claustrophobic, but
it made the room feel smaller than it did in previous conventions.
Exactly. So it's really hard for me to gauge whether there's a lot more people, a lot more dealers here this year than last year, because last year everything was just so compact, and I'm like, okay, so it's a little refreshing to see the dealer room kind of in a more of a, normal venue. But it does look to be a lot of dealers. I can't, you know, I'm not very good with numbers at guessing, but it's quite a few, and it's a lot of the dealers I've seen at BotCon in the past. And the vibe, you know, feels pretty good. I was in the lobby, saw some of the fans, definitely saw a couple from the UK that I usually see at Auto Assembly every year. And I'm sure, you know, a lot more people are going to be coming in tomorrow. Weather's pretty good, so yeah, it feels like there's kind of a good vibe. We already saw Greg Burr. Rick and I saw him in the elevator, and they have a few other decent guests. But yeah, compared to other shows, yeah, it does kind of like, you know, it does kind of look like it's on par with when it comes to the size of the dealer room with, BotCons of the past. Last year's BotCon, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think it was a little bit smaller dealer room than previous years, but I don't know. I don't think TFCon's quite there yet, but it's definitely better than other like Transformer shows I've been to in the States or 80s toy shows. Although I think Rick and I did RetroCon last month, and that's a good show as well for a new show.
Awesome. So I had a question and it just completely left my brain.
Sorry, I was talking to you.
No, it's not that. I had a question, and it's the nature of live shows. You know, it's like you try to go with the flow, and then as you start to talk, sometimes it just disappears. But I was at TFCon USA last year myself, and I was a helper with Capture Prey, and I was amazed at how great a show it was. Even in the dealer room that it was in, you're right. I mean, I literally could reach up and almost touch the ceiling. It was that low.
Yeah, I'm not trying to put, it, yeah, put anything against him. It was still, yeah, good sizable deal of room. And I think overall from the consensus I got, where the people that really enjoyed themselves.
Yeah. And they're actually going to be at that hotel again next year, so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I have family in Chicago, so I'm biased. So I want, you know, I wouldn't mind having more shows in Chicago all the time. And the Godzilla show I do every year is in Chicago, so yeah. But yeah, I was really shocked that BotCon was gonna did in that venue, although that wasn't quite Chicago.
Yeah, that was.
But I was surprised. I was surprised by the turnout. People were always saying, you know, the thing with BotCon though is people thought, oh, nobody's going to come out to Shane Charles. And I think they kind of proved people wrong. There was a pretty decent turnout for that show.
Yeah.
So I have to give that to them because we were, I know some other dealers that actually were that venue before for their show. And they're like, well, no, we're not going to do a show here because they didn't think anybody would be there. But BotCon still has its pull. And its followers, so I don't want to put them down. They're still doing something right, especially with the subscription toys, which are, from what I've heard, are doing quite well for them. So, I've had different dealings with people at FunPub, but I don't want to get into too much because it's not really related to TFCon too much. But I'm kind of giving my perspective on comparing that to here at TFCon.
Awesome. Chad, do you have any questions?
No, I think you covered them all, Daron. I'm actually speechless for once.
You're a silhouette tonight.
I'm trying.
Although I can't see the screen.
I know what you're doing. You're cosplaying as one of the Tripredicus Council.
I am. I am the next BotCon exclusive. We're just going to drop that right here. TFYLP. I am BotCon exclusive.
Tony, let me ask you this. What do you think as a dealer is your your vibe at this show versus like a BotCon? Is it more positive? Do you feel like you might make some more money? I know sometimes location has something to do with that and the product you bring. But what's your general feeling about a show that's structured in this way versus a show that's structured with the BotCon style, where there's a high end convention set that a lot of people who get the Primus package end up with, and numerous souvenirs that some people feel compelled to buy, versus a show like this.
Well, TFCon I think is in the spirit of kind of your typical. I don't know. Well, you're old, maybe in the up until about the internet got really big. You know, your typical toy show of, yeah, you would come to the show, pick what you like to pick, instead of having to, spend a lot of money on X amount of pre-ordered items, and then when you get there, you kind of spend whatever you have left over. I'm not complaining about it. It's just that I think the whole dynamic. Now, the paradigm, I don't know. It's different because BotCon is an official show. They're selling official product. They're putting, obviously, a lot more money into product than Colin is for TFCon. It's just translate into something different. Now, as an experience for fans, it's hard to say because there are a lot of fans that come to BotCon and come to TFCon that don't necessarily like toys. But, I know your point was, it is a toy-centric thing, but there's still some of them out there that don't do that. So the vibe is, for those type of people, is, I think, not so different. But on the other hand, for the people that come, are into toy-centric and want their toys, yes, it's definitely different because you have your choices of all the third-party stuff versus stuff that, FunPub has to, pick and choose from to what they can make their exclusives out of. So are you showing a screenshot of something?
This is a Mastermind Creations Senecas Asterisk. It's a TFCon exclusive from Mastermind Creations here. It's I believe they have a side by side here. Yeah. You got the original version of Senecas and then the TFCon USA exclusive version.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Also, I was looking at some other ones here, but I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem. One thing I like about myself personally about TFCon, it's like I can't keep, you know, and a lot of other dealers in L.A. are LA-based, and we can't keep track of all these third-party companies and what they're coming out with. So sometimes when I come to TFCon, I'm like kind of surprised at what they have. BACON, you know, it's you know, even though it's they do new head sculpts and everything, it's not as a big a surprise sometimes. It's like, oh, yeah, I knew it was coming out. I saw it in all the BACON updates. But when it's third-party, there's so many different companies. You know, I'm not checking every single third-party company every single day to find out what they're coming out with. So that I think is from my perspective, and even as a dealer, it's like, oh wow, that's cool. Maybe you want to carry that, or you know, that's a lot more interesting than something that you know publications can do with you know repainting or making a new head for. I hope that gives you kind of an idea the differences of an entity like Fun Publications and BACON, you know, working with Hasbro. And TFCon, who's independent of Hasbro, working with a bunch of other independent toy companies.
Yeah, they've definitely got a great mix of things there. I mean, it's not just where BACON you get the heavy official slew of toys, but at an event like TFCon, you get pretty much everything. And it's not just it's primarily a Transformer convention, but it's not just a Transformer convention. I think that's a great thing about it is that you got so many other things. And I believe the last day, Sunday, is like a general toy show altogether. I mean, you got your G.I. Joes, Mask, you know, Kamen Rider, whatever you collect. I believe they bring a lot of dealers bring that stuff out on Sunday. At least that's the way it was last year.
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, there's some things I do miss when I'm a dealer. So I'm at my space, and I'm not really doing some of the other fan stuff. Well, that's one thing I like about BACON Gold Pass. You know, that kind of gave me an opportunity. Okay, it costs quite a bit of money, but I can do something after show hours where I'm not stuck at my booth. Even though I have helpers and employees helping me out at BACON. Sometimes you just have to be there if there's any other, you know, unanticipated problems. So my time's limited. So, that's one thing I can add to it. So that's not necessarily offered at TFCon, but maybe not necessary. He doesn't have all these other things on, BACON's offering.
Yeah. I'll let you hand it back over to Rick, and we'll talk a little bit more about some things at TFCon, and then we're going to lead into the test shot discussion, and we'll wrap her up here. So okay. I want to thank you for joining us on TFYLP. I've bought from Tempting Toys before. I remember back in the day some great memories. The TFC book style reissues from Takara.
Oh yeah.
I got a large portion of mine from you.
Well, I appreciate it. I definitely aim to please. That's kind of my motto. You know, customers always right, even if they're wrong. It's like I try not to argue with them. Overall, it's been a positive experience. You know, there's always going to be a few bad apples, but you know that's life. You know, you're going to have that in any aspect of. Of living. So,
well, I mean, speaking of bad apples, we have Chad Williams on our show. So he's the evil one in our midst, you know, he operates.
Perspective.
He operates in the shadows. So,
okay. Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. I thank Rick and everybody. And, if you want me back on for any other reason, let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
Take care. And I'll hand it off to Rick.
Okay, so I like the other guy better.
Yeah. So now Rick is Iron Man. He's pulled down his Iron Man mask.
I'm Iron Rick.
Ask Jarvis if what he thinks TFCon will anything, any predictions that you might have.
I think this is going to surprise a lot of people. It's no surprise that people from the Collectors Club and BotCon are here to check it out. I think that's very showing of the power that this convention has and the power that the fans have to impact and change the world that they collect in. That they're obviously getting someone's attention. So I think this is going to be a really positive weekend for everyone. I'm really looking forward to it. And I already got a great deal. I already made a purchase. I got a Sky Gary in the box, and it's super clean, super white. $150.
Wow.
Yeah. There are great deals to be had, and I think I might have scored the deal of the weekend with that one.
Well, you need to try to get you one of those Nero Rexes too.
Well, you know what? I thought about it. I can get one of those, but someone also has a G1 Scorponok in the box, complete for $350. So, you know, one of the few G1 pieces that I don't have in the box.
I have one too.
I'm tempted. I'm awfully tempted, man. I told him to hold it for me until tomorrow morning. We'll see. I'll probably get it.
Well, what you need to do is take a rag and put some sodium pentothal on it or something or whatever it is, or no, some ether, and just walk up behind that dealer and just gently put it over his mouth and say,
"Now, I am a large man who is proficient at martial arts, but this guy looks like he could put up a fight, so I'll probably just give him the money instead."
Well, knocking somebody in the back of the head is always an option, especially in the dealer room, you know. If anything, knock somebody in the head, take their wallet, and use their money to buy toys with.
Well,
just steal all of Don's money.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Find Headmaster Don and say, you know what? RC is a lie.
No, I came up to him today. I saw him briefly, and I said, "Hey, you know they're recalling all those RCs."
What was his reaction?
Oh, you're not funny. You're just not funny.
I can't talk too much because he helped me out. He hooked me up with a Mint and Seal Box God Neptune, and he's actually bringing it over to the Captured Prey booth to give to him, to bring back with him to give to me next weekend. So I can't wait to get
Unless
that.
Unless I intercept.
Huh?
Unless I intercept first.
You shall not, or I shall hunt you down. Because God Neptune has been one of my must-haves for many years. And I finally pulled the trigger on it last week. And
the Beast Wars?
Yeah, it's a white and gold one. So, Chad, your thoughts and predictions? Or have you been
following? Who
are you hiding from? The CIA or the FBI?
Man, I am the next BotCon exclusive.
Are you in the Transformers Collectors Relocation Program? Is that what's going on there?
I am.
Outline of you, you might be the next exclusive reveal for the box set. I don't know.
Well, see, he needs to have that voice modulator going on, you know,
that G1 Ultra Magnus voice modulator that you talk into, or like Snake Mountain from He-Man.
Yeah. Either that, or I wonder if there's a setting here on Google Plus to modulate his voice.
There's an app. There's an app to do that. Not going to get into why I know that.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
Yeah.
But my predictions. My predictions are Orson's going to make a lot of money. Brett's going to have a bad weekend. And Rick's going to laugh about everything. So that's my predictions. See? It's already happening.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a sense of humor when you're dealing with the internet. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially me.
I have a guest here with me. My son is. Oh, look. It's a.
It's.
I'm Tigatron.
No, it's. Hey, it's turn the other one back on. You look like John Candy from Spaceballs.
I'm a Mog, half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
Wow. This show has went downhill completely.
Are you your best friend?
Yes. I have a best friend. All right. Well, I believe we've beat the TFCon thing to death because, well, really, there's not a whole lot to talk about right now, just some speculation. But
like CNN, we made a whole hour out of nothing.
Absolutely. You know, and then, but the only thing is at least we didn't do like Fox News reported as if it was true.
We need to have a little scrolling thing at the bottom that tells the stocks and then also which third party company is releasing what, when, and
it's like, there's going to be a release of Monstructor in G2 colors. Oh, wait a minute. I better not say that because Plasticon might join. No, seriously.
Three times still. It's like Beetlejuice.
Yes. Where is Plasticon? We need more Plasticon. We need more cowbell.
We definitely need a 3P ticker. Gerard, you need to work on that. So we have the little ticker down at the bottom.
Yeah. All I heard was P ticker. And I'm like, what? All right,
hey, we're not insane, Galvatron.
Yes. All right. I can't think of a better segue, so we'll just move right into some test shots. And well, Rick, you've had some experience, but not with these ones in particular, but with test shots, and maybe you can tell us some insights that you might be aware of, but this is for the listeners. This is Combiner Wars Scattershot in just whatever colors they had lying around. Although it is mostly, I'm assuming, in the colors that they intended to be, with reds and whites. There's just no paint apps or anything. Anybody have any thoughts on Scattershot?
So that's more of a control sample that's made from the mold. The mold probably wasn't put on the line. It was put on a separate machine to spit a few of those out. That's really to test the friction on joints. That's to test the transformation, how tight everything fits. Pretty much at that stage, they're ready to go into production. So to make a change at this juncture, it's going to be cost prohibitive and cause a major delay.
So if there's something wrong with the toy at this point, generally we're not going to see it for a while.
Right. Is there anything wrong with that toy?
The only thing with this particular toy,
it may be loose. Like, some of the joints may be loose.
Yeah, so. Some of the joints are loose. The only thing I could find is I had a bear of a time. I took some pictures with some of the Combiner Wars limbs attached to it as a what if, you know, this is, you know, molds that may work as Technobots. And I connected them to him. One of the shoulder joints was exceedingly tight to it went in there fine. The connector joint went in there fine, but getting it out, I had to wrestle with it. To keep from breaking both this test shot and my personal copy of Mirage. So yeah, I mean, it was exceedingly tight. Other than that, there's also, I don't know if you can see, there's some stress marks here, and it doesn't take much to create those on this particular one. These wings are really, really flimsy. I'm hoping that's not the kind of plastic these are made in the final version.
Yeah, that should be the actual material that it's going to come in. Again, it is a sample, so stress marks are common. Joints loose are common.
If you can see right there, Orson, the person that owns this, Orson, he actually did that, I believe, transforming it the first time. And if this is the actual final material, there may be some issues there. But, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. That's probably assembled hastily by hand. So, you know, you're going to have some of the issues there with the screws.
Now we've got the Onslaught here, AKA, I guess I'm going to refer to this as Onslaught because it's the Onslaught mold. It's got the Bruticus head back here. But it's actually for the robot head. Let me see if I can display this out here and pull the robot.
Now that's head. Not the hotspot mold retooled, is it?
It is the hotspot mold retooled.
Okay.
But it's basically if you take hotspot and return him around, it's like hotspot in reverse, honestly. But this is the one that's got the Armada Demolisher head. For those of you who are listening, I've got it opened up to where the Armada Demolisher head is. I'm a little bit curious as to why that particular head is on this mold.
I was always a fan of some of the characters from Armada, not necessarily of the show or the fiction, but there were characters that had a lot of potential, and Demolisher for me was one of them, which is why I kind of forced him into War for Cybertron. I believe he was one of the unlockable or a downloadable character. So they had those assets readily available. So it's possible that someone saw that he was recently used or the name was available and they could have put it in there that way.
It may not necessarily be intended as a released character or anything.
Well, what they've been doing for the last couple years, this was going on when I was there, for Generation and the movie lines, there was usually two or three heads per figure made, I've never seen the light of day. Some of them show up on samples like that. Other ones show up in the instructions, because they're not quite sure which sample to photograph to create the instructions. But most of them have never seen the light of day, and a lot of those extra heads were really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, this one here particularly, I mean, there's nothing really about this mold that screams Armada Demolisher to me. It's a nice sculpt. I got to give it that as far as the head sculpt is. It's a nice sculpt. But, I mean, this just doesn't work. Maybe I'm just not using my imagination enough. I don't know, but...
You know, Deco goes a long way.
Yeah.
So it's in the right colors. You know, someone photoshops that up. But except for like Silverbolt, how many times are you going to change a tool to get another character out of it? I'm surprised Silverbolt has as many tooling changes as he does.
Well, we've already got Silverbolt first version, the G2 version coming up. We've got Cyclonus,
Scattershot.
Yeah, I mean it's already been used like four times already. But
three different ways.
Some of the cards,
three different card switches.
Some of the cards and stuff have been used more than that.
Yeah.
But, this...
I'll be honest. I don't know if anyone else is feeling this, but I'm feeling a little Combiner Wars fatigue. Like, I'm feeling a little bit of it. I think I'd rather have all the Combiner teams first and then kind of get into, like, those other G1 characters that weren't necessarily Combiners.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, and I feel somewhat of that, a little bit of that, especially with all the BotCon and FunPub releases or reveals. We knew that we were going to get more of those, but so soon.
Yeah, I really, you know, I like the Mayhem Attack Squad that they're doing, yeah, except for Bludgeon. But I think to do a Decepticon set, an evil set of combiner figures, and then to offer a BotCon set of another evil set of combiner figures, I would have liked to have seen a Maximor or an Autobot set to kind of balance things out.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Duran and I were talking last night or night before last. Would it be nice if they come out with the box set and it's evil? You know, it's basically the Tripredicus Council, added, you know, with the two agents added on. But it'd be nice to, as the souvenir figures, to have the Magna Boss version of that on the flip side. So coming out of BotCon, you could have basically two combiners. Fully complete.
Well, you know, to further that, you know, and we also talked about this, the other thing that they can do is next year is also the 30th anniversary of the 86 movie. So, you know, why not have some 86 movie characters as like attendee figures? I don't know. I mean, that's, but the thing is, do you want to mix? I mean, if the overall theme is Beast Wars, Cybertronian Beast Wars, do you want to break up that theme with having 86 movie characters as extras for the set?
Right. You know, the one thing I was thinking about in regards to that set was, if we get the Tripredicus Council, who are all similarly colored, and then you have Ravage and Tarantulas, who are different colors from the Tripartite Council, how is that going to look all combined into one robot? It doesn't seem to me that the colors are going to match.
Cicadacon was green and white, and the other two are darker colors. They're purple and dark red.
Yeah, but that's a different form of combiner. That stands in a different way, combines in a different way. When you have three guys that will most likely share standardized colors across the board, and then you have two other guys who are drastically different from each other and from that set of three, just kind of makes me wonder, like, how is that combined figure actually gonna look? Is it gonna look weird that his arms are two different colors, or that his legs are vastly different from his upper body, or he's going to have one leg and one arm that are just, I'm kind of worried of how it's going to look combined.
Well, honestly, though, if you think about it, Abominus was like that. I mean, you had a whitish, well, a gray body, a gray and dark gray center body. You had a purple arm. You had a green and yellow arm, a yellow leg, a bright yellow leg, and then a gray arm.
Yeah, that I can understand, but I think the point I'm trying to make is that you have three of the five characters are most likely going to share the same color palette, where it's going to be red and gray, red and gray, and red and gray, and then you have two other guys, which are different. So that it's starting to
mute itself out.
Is tilting this way towards a certain color palette, and then you're kind of forcing in these two other colors that seem to want to break it up.
Hmm. Well, getting back to the test shots here, you had an earlier comment. Was this the Onslaught, or I'm sorry, the Hotspot mold? Well, if you look at it, let me get it centered here on the camera. Basically, this is the front of the vehicle for Onslaught. And it's got the molded details for the, you know, the cab and everything. But if you flip it around, Without the feet that come down and form the front of the fire engine cab, you still got essentially the front of the fire engine, and it's even still got the molded in light bar that's just, I'm assuming, not going to be painted. But I want to show the crown jewel of this particular piece, if I can find a way to reveal it here.
I love how every time he puts down his head, Rick, there's hearts up above his head.
Hearts above my head? What?
Yep. You got one of those little things still on.
Okay. That's weird. I don't know how to turn that off. Okay. Well, I guess I do love this figure. But the crown jewel of this, and I don't know if you can see it, it's kind of obscured there. Let me kind of pull this out and around. Ah, there we go. Is the head sculpt on Bruticus. That is dead on Bruticus. You guys have any thoughts on that? Okay, we're having some technical issues here.
Rick froze up.
Yeah, Rick is freezing up here. He said he's going to log out and log back in. So, Chad, do you have any thoughts on the Bruticus head there?
I think it's spectacular, actually. That's the first time I've seen it. Even though I've seen your pictures, I didn't blow them up to where I could actually see it. But now that I've seen it, man, they definitely outdid
themselves. And now your audio's gotten really muted. Live video, people. Gotta love that. No, you actually got worse.
Wow.
Yeah, I can see you. Now I'm scared.
Oh, that's why I was in the shadows for so long.
Yeah.
But the head, if you can hear me.
That's better, whatever you did.
The head is spectacular. They've definitely outdid themselves on that head.
Definitely want to see my head. I just love how, I mean, basically the chest shield for Bruticus, I mean, it basically opens up and then this kind of folds down. And this is like a little piece that fits on the center part of the chest of Bruticus, and it folds down and forms the waist piece. So,
oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that.
And then it's there. The backpack folds around and voila, you're starting to take shape there.
It looks,
Bruticus-y.
Man, looks very, very Bruticus-y.
Yeah. Bruticus. He's not big and floppy.
Inside, that's what she said.
Inside joke here, people. But yeah, this is a phenomenal piece. I'm really excited to get Bruticus as whenever he comes out. The Onslaught is a great remold of an already great figure in Hotspot. I love the Hotspot version of this mold. And if you already have Hotspot, you can already, well, see, that's another thing about these test shots is they don't quite peg in just right. And trying to get it.
Yeah, they're made more for pictures.
Yeah, well, they're made like Rick said, just to test tolerances and things like that. They're not really meant to even be in the hands of collectors like you and I. But all in all, it serves its purpose. It's a great looking toy, great detail and stuff. While we're still waiting on Rick, I'll go ahead and pull out the final one. And me personally, this is the crown jewel out of all these test shots for me. And that's the Combiner Wars Brawl. mold.
I can honestly say, Duran, that that's probably just by the pictures I've seen that you've posted.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to be my favorite figure of the whole line.
Yeah. I mean, look at this. I mean, you got the foot pad slash hand that attaches to the roof, but here's what happens whenever you just take it off and you got the connector peg that is on the top of the turret of the cannon. Well, which also for, as we've seen with the BotCon drill horn, or I'm sorry,
ram horn,
this peg is going to, I guess, be inverted or something, and it's going to be able to swing down. No, I guess it'll swing down, and then from the back of the tank, form the front of the drill for nose cone or slash ram horn. But at any rate, that pops down there, and then you just got your conventional tank.
Looks like an Abrams to me.
Yeah. It's a really, really great mold. Transformation is not difficult. Typical Combiner Wars. But yeah, this figure here, I'm not going to transform it right now. Because out of all three of these test shots, this one is probably the most loose. Just the pictures that I posted on the TFYLP Facebook group. It took me a while to shoot those because he was so loose, literally. I mean, he would literally stand there. I would pose him and then, you know, set my camera down in front of it and be focusing it. And then he'd just fall over. He's that loose. So
do you think we're going to get out of that brawl? Do you think we're going to get anybody besides Nose Cone and Ram Horn, or do you think they're just be a three and out?
Honestly, I can see them doing a Lyle Kaiser combiner set, and this could be both Drill Horn and Kill Bison.
Nice.
So I believe it could be either of those characters. You can take the back of the tank and fold it down, and that forms. Well, I'll just go ahead and take the foot pad off here. And I said I wasn't going to transform it. And what am I doing? I'm transforming it.
Man, it's a toy.
It's a man of my word. I'm a man of my word. Yeah. But yeah, just basically do that. And you got your brawl and legmo. Wait a minute. This is something I think a lot of people are going to forget. If you're looking at the top of the tank, see how low the turret sits on it? Well, the turret lifts up and sits up a little bit higher. So there, that's you got your brawl in leg mode. Arm mode, he is a lot more floppy because a lot of his floppiness on this test shot comes from the hips, which actually are the elbow joints in the robot mode, or I mean in the combined form mode. But this test shot here, it's, you know, putting it in arm mode, he literally just droops. But I think Rick rejoined us. Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. Technical difficulties.
That's the nature of live broadcasting. It happens.
In the meantime, I have another guest here, if you're interested, Mr. Trent Troop.
Ah, B-Mog. Mr. B-Mog himself. Yes, please.
Hey, do you want to sit on a podcast and kind of put you on the spot? Sure. Yeah, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Trent Troop, handsome man. And he is going to be he is the BMOG, which is a 5mm weapon system, which is, hello?
I'm here. We're here.
Hello?
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Hold on. Let me type it in chat.
This computer, man. Hey.
We can hear you. We can see you.
Okay. All right. Sorry, technical difficulties. I'm going to turn it over to Trent for a quick second.
Trent Troop, welcome to TFYLP.
Take it away.
So, Trent, tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about BMOG to the listeners.
Okay. Well, I've been involved in the Transformers fandom since 94, starting off with Alt Toys Transformers back in the day and a very lengthy BotCon attendance and then later BotCon and club activity. Couple of years ago, I did a Kickstarter for a thing called BMOG.
A successful Kickstarter
for a thing called BMOG, which is Biomechanical Ordnance Gestalt. And they are little robot beasts that break down into an arsenal of weapons that use 5mm pegs and ports.
Did I drop off?
No, you gave me like the wait a second.
Not you. I was doing something else. But go ahead. I was actually going to grab something, but I'll be right back. Just keep talking.
Okay. And we got the BMOG is series of robotic animals made up of weapons using 5mm pegs and ports, which are compatible with Transformers and Ninja Turtles, and just about I think we found about 36 toy lines that use them. We have our second major figure in production right now. Unfortunately, we were supposed to have them for the convention, but unfortunately, circumstances beyond our control delayed the shipment, and so we will not have Chainbill Splatterpuss at the convention. We're going to be launching with them shortly after after we get back, though, as soon as the boxes come in. Yeah.
And poof.
Yes, and you've got some of the Kickstarter color ones.
Mm-hmm.
We are debuting. It's actually kind of despite the fact we don't have Chainbill Splatterpuss, we do have good news. The new manufacturing outfit that we're going with is more economical than the old one, which is actually allowing us to drop our price range. From here on out, the Baron Manta Ray kits that you just showed off are going to be $20. And we are hoping to be able to retail Chainbill Splatterpuss in standard colors around $8. And glow in the dark is going to be an option.
What are the standard colors on these, by the way?
For the standard colors, right now we have four retail colorways for the Baron Manta Ray. We have Military Black, we have Toxic Spill, which is a yellow-green that is a match for the color that was used on a lot of the Decepticon Action Master partners. We have Piratical Purple, which we debuted BotCon after last. And then we have the new one that we're releasing, which is Heroic Blue. And there was an exclusive run of sort of a bright green, a very Springer-esque green for TF Expo, I think 2 years ago. And the bright orange is the Kickstarter exclusive, so that one is pretty much all gone, unless you find somebody who's a Kickstarter backer.
This actually was a Christmas gift last year from a very special friend of mine, so... as you can see, I love them to death. This is one of the great things I like about these. It's like, and here I'm dropping. Yes, but I got the bear here, and you let me get the screen here, and the manta ray. It's like you can mount the manta ray like this, and he's a cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, he's like a set of wings, or you can mount it on the side, cannon like that, Yeah, I mean, it's just the possibilities on this guy is they're so fun. He's in a part of the case. I've actually got the bear version of this assembled as a gun, or in this color rather, and I have Armada Generations Armada Starscream holding him, and he's like that, but I can't. It's buried in my case here.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we've come up with a lot of interesting things that are going to be that you can build with multiple kits and things like that. And so that's the news of what we're going to be selling at the BMOG booth here at TFCon Charlotte. But Rick also wanted me to possibly talk about this. What is that?
Okay. Yeah.
This is called 303.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a
bit washed out on our screen, but it's...
Yeah, it's a 3D print in all white, so it's hard to make out, but yeah. It's... It resembles a certain pet-like insect robot from a certain comic series.
This is Insecticon.
And what had happened is a couple of years ago, Rick had commissioned me to 3D model this for him. And something that they checked around wasn't really a way to release it, wasn't really a way to get it to market, you know, at a decent price at that time. And so it got shelved, and Rick let me put a version of it up on my Shapeways store for 3D printing, which we still do have available on Shapeways.
For how much?
You know what? I forget. It's hard to tell because, like, the prices on Shapeways vary because of the materials that you use change how much the prices are. But I've got that and a whole bunch of other Transformer accessories and stuff up on Shapeways. And if Play With This 2-second Kickstarter reaches a significant distance past funding, this is a possibility in plastic, not as a 3D print. As a free gift, yeah.
But you know, I'd like to get Bad Cued Sun Surge and have him petting that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
some display ideas here. That would be awesome.
You want to talk about the new V-Log set? The nicknamed Dino Trouble ones?
Oh, yeah, the Dino Trouble / non-Dino Squad. If Play With This 2 gets funded, we have a 3-pack of one-piece BMOG partners that we're going to produce as part of that. It's a Dimetrodon that makes an axe. The tail is the handle. There's a Pterodactyl that can be either a crossbow or a pickaxe, depending on how it's mounted in the hand. And there is an Ichthyosaur that is a sort of retro ray pistol.
Oh, neat.
And Rick named the version that's going with Play With This 2, the Dino Trouble set. Our mass release will be called the Non-Dino Squad, because while they are all prehistoric reptiles, none of them are actually dinosaurs.
Leave it to Rick to misname something. He was part of that Hasbro misnaming group, I'm sure. You know, it's like...
That's not good with what I had available to me.
It's like trying to build a shelter out of just sticks, no actual wood.
Well, when somebody else grabs the trademark, you got to go with whatever's closest.
Yeah. But... I absolutely love these BMOGs. There are some great things. Anybody that's not actually picked some up, you're doing yourself a disservice. I actually was at TF Expo this year out in Wichita, and they still had just a limited amount of the green ones left. But and I meant to grab a set as I left went out, but well. Being a dealer helper, you tend to forget things because you're so busy. But you had a set that you were going to have at TFCon there in Charlotte with you, but it's not going to be able to be there. Do you have other sets there to sell, I'm assuming?
Yes, we have. We still have the Bear and Manta Ray sets in the four colors. The three ones we released already, and the Heroic Blue, which is new release. It's just the Chainbill Splatterpuss, which unfortunately did not make it. But hang on just a moment. I don't have the production versions, but I do have a test shot to show off, at least. Ta-da-da. Once I dig it out of my art bin. And this is...
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, let me highlight your screen here so it should show up. Basically looks like a platypus with the bill is a chainsaw.
Yeah, he's made up of two chainsaws, one for the bill, one for the tail, and then a rebreather tank that also works as a blaster. And oh yeah, and we were going to announce this at the booth, but since we don't have the releases, there is a fourth piece that I don't have with me right now, which is we've made a little fedora that fits on the top for the Chainbill Splatterpuss, which goes perfectly with our version of it, which is going to be coming out in teal. For any Disney Channel fans out there.
Whatever could you be referencing?
But, yeah, and Chainbill Splatterpuss has turned out really well in the sculpt. We're, we're going with a new factory setup. We're working with Nonif, made in the USA, actually, which is something that a lot of things cannot claim. But, unfortunately, just a shipping mishap with the post office meant that they did not arrive in time to be brought here. So,
well, don't use UPS. I had a similar issue today with a shipment of stuff I was getting. So,
I'm still waiting on a shipment at my house for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, but once we've once the convention is over, we're going to be updating the prices and putting up the blue version on bmogtoys.com for sale, and then as soon as we have Chainbill Splatterpusses, they will go up there, and we're going to move forward from there. What we're making, we're turning back over into new product, so trying to get as much out there as we can.
Yeah, I don't know about anybody else, but I think the Chainbill Splatterpuss looks spectacular. I was very impressed.
Oh, okay. That explains it.
Yeah. I've got an 8 and a 9 year old, and the teal colors will work perfectly. So yeah, looking forward to it.
And on this one, we were actually able to get like old style foil stickers, which was something we'd wanted originally, but our first factory couldn't pull off. And so, but this set will each come with a foil sticker set with a couple of different sticker options for the visor and things like that.
Nice.
Is I had a question about the bear, and I can't remember what it was. I remember whenever I first messed with these, I'm sitting there and I had a question. I'm like, well, if I ever get to talk to you, I was going to ask you, and now I have a chance to ask you, and I can't remember what it is. But
is it about whether the hammer officially faces up or down in the beast mode, or is it, people ask that a lot? But
That might be it. I have mine, I guess, the large part pointing down, kind of forming the
claw. I didn't do mine the same with the claw weapon up top.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, that's the configuration I usually do, but unless it's it's Peg Paw Plunder from the purple set, in which case I use one of the the claw weapon as one of his hind limbs. So he's a pirate bear.
Yar. Yeah. Now, looks like the mouth should be able to hold something other. Is that it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, the mouth is sculpted for a 5mm peg, but because of the thickness of the plastic in the head, there's a slight compression that happens. So one side is more easily able to grip 5mm on most of them than the others.
Yeah, I was sitting here trying to put. Yeah, he fits in there barely.
Yeah,
I was like he's holding the manta ray in his teeth. I don't want to break it though, but yeah. Pretty neat, neat little things there. Go ahead, Chad. I'm just talking off.
What brought you to come up with that idea? I mean, were you just sitting around one night and said, "Man, I want a bunch of weapons"?
Well, I wanted to actually get into making some kind of accessory set or product for the Transformers fandom. And I had been looking at the Arms Micron kits that Takara had been doing. And I was wondering, like, can I put together like a transforming kit figure like this? And then I was looking at it, like, you know, the kit sprue style is less expensive to produce than individual parts in a lot of cases. It made a lot of sense. But then I was thinking, and instead of having like one figure that you build once and it becomes one weapon, why not have each part become a different weapon? And then you can deck out an entire squad of characters with one little robot partner, or you could rebuild them in different combinations to make new stuff. Because one of the things that we found is you can take two bear kits and make a pretty good scorpion out of them, or combine them into a humanoid robot and other stuff.
Awesome. I hadn't even considered. I just did the bear and the manta ray, and I'm like, oh, cool. And then I made the gun. Now the bear, you can, like, lengthen him out, and he becomes, like, this big, long cannon and everything. Mm-hmm. I've got the orange version of this. I wish I could reach my star screen to get this out, but yeah, it forms, like, a really big cannon. It's got all kinds of missiles and barrels all over it and everything. Love it. But I never thought about trying to make something else out of it. I guess I wasn't thinking multi-dimensional there.
Well, the original thing was we just put as many ports and pegs on as we could so that they could attach in as many places as possible. You know, because we wanted to make sure there were ports so that if a figure had like a power links peg, you could stick it on the arm, or you know, if there's a 5mm screw hole on the back, you could stick it back there and so forth. And then as we were playing with the prototypes that we got 3D printed, started realizing that different pieces could be that you could sort of combine them Lego-like. And the combo builds for the bear and so forth, none of them were really planned in advance. They were things that we found while playing with the prototypes and playing with the test shots and whatnot. And since that's happened, we've started, as we design out newer figures, we've been trying to incorporate more intentional alt builds and things like that, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of those out soon.
That reminds me, you know, you said you modeled the idea kind of after the Arms Microns that Takara was putting out. There was one, I can't remember what it was, what the official name of it was, but it was a bull that turned into a drill. Well, if you kind of alter the transformation a little bit, it totally looks like a llama. I mean, it's got the long neck and the ears and the 5mm peg kind of forms the nose of the llama, And we were actually messing around with it at BotCon in 2012, I believe, in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And somebody had one of those at the table at dinner, and they had it in bull mode. I want to say it was Insane Galvatron. It might have been Mirai Baby. But he just kind of straightened out the legs a little bit, and then the handle, he kind of lifted it up, and then lifted up the sides of the hand guard, and it formed like ears, and it's like, hey, look, it's a llama. And now I officially have that in my display case as a llama. It's not a bull, it's a llama. Yeah. But yeah, that's what that reminded me of whenever you said that.
Yeah. Well, we want to go with creative display and creative play. It's kind of what we do with BMOG. Is it's a lot of, you know, like on our sticker sheets, we try to have alternate stickers for some of the parts so you can customize, and just generally trying to make it a thing where you kind of choose how you want this to interact with your universe.
Awesome. Chad, do you have any questions or comments?
I only have one question per guest, man. I've ran out. Sorry.
Well, we've actually filled up a little over an hour and a half, almost 2 hours here. Trent, I want to thank you for joining us on TFYLP. You and Tony both are welcome back anytime on our show.
Thanks, Trent, and
good luck with BMOG stuff. Keep it pumping. Absolutely love it. Glad to have these. I wasn't even aware of these. I take that back. I saw something mentioned on TFW. I guess it was during the Kickstarter, but mm-hmm. I didn't really look for further into it for whatever reason. But then I got these as a gift, and I'm like, oh hey, I remember reading something about that. And the more I've messed with these, like I'm like, these things are awesome. And so keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. Rick, you want to say goodbye?
Thank you, Trent.
Thank you.
Hey,
hey. Hey, hey, hey.
What's Rick's new mask? Oh, we still got Iron Man.
Yeah. Well, I don't know which mask is uglier. That's the one.
At least I'm not pretending to be Dr. Claw there in the shadows.
Would that make Duran Inspector Gadget?
No, I kind of see him more as the chief who would give out the orders to Gadget, who would just...
Oh, them. God. Totally got a mental image of that.
Which I don't know if that makes me the dog or Penny. I don't...
No, don't you're... Know. Yeah, you're Penny. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely Penny.
Well, we've kind of stretched out. I mean, I'll be honest, we didn't have a whole lot planned out for this episode because we didn't know what was going to be able to, I didn't know if anything was going to be unveiled like early or anything, if anybody had any information. But this was kind of a preview of TFCon USA 2015, a look at these test shots. Rick, we talked about this while you were offline, and did you have any thoughts on the Combiner Wars Brawl before we wrap?
I'm really excited to get something that's not a car or a jet in Combiner Wars, and I'm hoping we get some animals further down the line, but. You know, it's the lack of diversity in vehicles that is kind of causing that fatigue, man. So
this thing is a breath of fresh air. I mean, look at the molded in detail in this thing. It is incredible. The other cars are almost smooth compared to this. And that's what I love.
That's almost like
look like a deluxe. Armada,
that's almost like Armada detail.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would almost put the Demolisher head on this if it was, you know, the right size, put the demolisher head on this and, you know, maybe give it some cannons on the side of the turret. Yeah, I totally buy that as a demolisher. But what do you think about the chances of this maybe getting a Japanese release as, say, or Kill Bison or Drillhorn?
You know what? You know, I hope so. What I do want to point out, there was a great Photoshop that a fan did somewhere of Thunderclash out of Optimus Prime and some of the were they Turbo Masters?
Turbo Masters
from the UK. I mean, that to me just screamed like that should have been a Bach concept. That is a great reuse of tools that makes sense rather than doing like an Ironhide or Mirage or stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, you said earlier about I was talking a little bit about mold fatigue and getting tired of seeing the same mold, same mold, same molds. However, I've got to say I agree with that to an extent, but I didn't get to finish my thought earlier. I agree with that to an extent, but as a Gen 1 fan who absolutely loves combiners, I am probably the happiest now as a collector, honestly, than I have been in years for something that's new. Because these are tickling exactly what I have been waiting for as a fan and collector. I've been wanting an updated Devastator. We have one. You know, I've been wanting an updated Predaking, or not Predaking, but yeah, I do want an updated Predaking, but well, I had to go third party for that. But, you know, the Bruticus, Minasaur could use some work. It's okay. But it could use some work. The Defensor is absolutely mind blowing to me. Superion is solid. I agree with the, I'm getting tired of seeing the same molds, but at the same time, every time I see them in stores, I feel giddy because, hey, that was a true G1 character that's updated. And it's creative reuses of molds. It's not just, oh, hey, let's just paint it a different color and there it goes. You know, some of them have a totally new head, new chest piece, like this Onslaught. I mean, there's a lot of new pieces on this thing to make it totally new. And I don't mind it. It's exactly what I've been looking for. So, you know, while I do agree that there is mold fatigue, I'm getting tired of seeing some of the same molds. I'm not going to complain about it because I've been asking for it. You know, I don't want to be one of those fans that, the piss, moan, and whine that, you know, Hasbro, you never make us make what we want, you know, give me what we want. And then this is what I've been wanting. I'm not going to sit here and complain. Hey, you gave me what I wanted finally. So, you know, I give them kudos for that. This is a really happy time as a collector. And it looks like next year with the Titans Return stuff, you know, my screen name's Weird Wolf. I love my headmasters. And a tear came to my eyes. I'll be honest, a tear came to my eyes with some of those that were shown off. That Skull Cruncher, that Hardhead. I'm like sitting in the background. I have my hands clenched like in prayer. Please give me my Weird Wolf. Please give me my Weird Wolf. But I've heard through the grapevine that there's a possibility that we're getting the entire 87 line of headmasters. So I'd like to hopefully see that come true. What is the next toy show that we might see? Anybody know?
Probably a Takara show.
What's that, by December or so? Maybe
December, January. And then of course Toy Fair in February.
So probably around then we may see more Titan Returns reveals. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. You know, we see that there's a high likelihood of a Metroplex being retooled into Fort Max. You know, that wasn't confirmed, but neither denied. Lots of disinformation going on out there, but you know, what we've seen that's been revealed already, it's it's a good guess that we are getting it. So I'm exceedingly happy with next year. And I'll be honest, I've talked with Chad about this during the week while we talk on the phone. And as a collector, I had planned on 2016 being a wind down year for me. You know, I don't want to get out of toys. I still want to be a masterpiece collector and everything. I'm still a big fan, but I just want to back off on my collecting to the point where I don't buy as much as often. And that's mainly because I want as a collector to go a different direction in my life. And 2016 was going to be the year that I started doing that. You know, I was going to pay off my pre-orders and then, you know, kind of scale back on the domestic retail releases, you know, and then just, you know, hey, that's a great masterpiece. I'm going to grab that. That's a character I love. I'm going to grab that. And now the entire flipping line is going to be based on my favorite gimmick. So, you know, here he goes, sucking me right back in again.
There's always 2017.
There's always 2017, and watch Power Masters be the, be the focal point of that line or something. Or who knows? We might. I was telling Chad because he posed the question. What was it? What do you see coming after Titans Returns? Is that what you asked me last night?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
And me personally, I kind of see them doing, you know, like the BotCon Oil Master, taking all Legends figures and putting them out with, you know, giving a like a deluxe size shell that they fit in, you know, a way for them to interact. You know, that's what I see happening in 2017, although there's nothing to base that upon, just, you know, fan dreaming. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Chad, I'll defer to you first.
I 2017, while I don't share the Pretender Shell love that Duran has, I
like Pretenders.
I'm not a big fan, but I do see a Power Master, Target Master line coming. It's the next gimmick.
Well, it ties in with if they're doing a three-story arc, you know, and they start out with combiners and go to headmasters, you know, something Pretenders or Power Master, Target Master, I think would likely, if they follow that trend, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Or we may go Micromaster size again, you know.
Or we can go something totally new. So, I mean, who knows?
Return to Beast.
So, you know, as I'm going to talk tomorrow on my panel, that teams change all the time and plans change when those new teams come in. So, you know, it could be a year of, hey, they were going to do Target Masters, but now they're going to do Beast Hunter Masters. So, we'll see what happens. That's why I try not to make predictions that far out, unfortunately, now, because I don't want to get my hopes up.
Well, mainly it'd be a fan's dream. You know, what would you like to see? And we know that it's all supposition. But, you know, going back, you know, there every now and then I'll get bored and I'll go back and I'll download an ancient episode of TFYLP, which you can also download on tftalk.net through the TFYLP archives. You can download pretty much any episode of TFYLP. And I downloaded a random episode here a while back, and we were talking about Masterpiece Sideswipe before it was released. And we were, we as a cast were talking about where we see the line going. And somebody brought up, I see them doing a Masterpiece Soundwave. And, you know, like one of the very next Masterpieces announced was Soundwave. And then, well, if they're doing a Sideswipe, we know they're going to do Red Alert. Well, we got Red Alert. You know, and it was almost clairvoyant listening to this podcast, this ancient podcast that we did is probably 2.5, 3 years ago. And we correctly guessed, you know, where it was going to go based on what we've got now. And it was actually quite entertaining sitting there. I'm like, huh, we were right. Huh, we were right. Well, almost right there, you know. So it's kind of fun to do that. So I believe we've kind of stretched this one out a little bit, but we didn't have a whole lot to work with, but hopefully everyone was entertained. I was entertained.
I was entertained.
Yes, yes. My cat was entertained. He's sitting here too. He didn't attack me like Massey does. He's a well-behaved cat. Yes. But we had great guests. We had Tony Prito from Tempting Toys. I want to thank him for being on. And we had Trent Troop. I've always wanted to talk to Trent. I've, you know, seen his name all over. Ever since I've been an adult collector and been online, I've seen Trent Troop's name mentioned for years and never had a chance to actually talk to him. And now I have. I've actually really awestruck now. So.
Turns out he's just a regular human being.
Yeah, yeah, just like you and me. Everybody are. Everybody is. Unless they're Chad, then he's all secretive and shadowy.
We think Chad's human. We don't know.
There. How about that? Now you can see my face, sort of.
Please go back into the shadow.
Yeah, I thought so.
And your wife did not make good on those promises of making weird noises in the background while
she
we were.
She actually was asleep. She fell asleep.
We bored her to death. Okay.
Yes, we've bored my wife to sleeping.
Well, at least we're not we weren't like we were with Insane Galvatron's wife a couple years ago at Shardicon. She was sitting there on the dealer room floor. It was the first time she'd ever been, probably the last time she'll ever go to a Transformer convention. But she was sitting there just like all eyes all glazed over. And she's like, these people, all these people are here for toys. It's like, yeah, isn't it great? It's because that's what we like. It's what we love. It's our life. We don't spend 3/4 of our paycheck on toys if we didn't like them. So, well, guys, you have any closing thoughts or anything that might come up?
I'm going to announce this now. It's kind of a surprise. And, you know, I told you I was going to do something on the show, but I think I'm going to put my name in for to run for president of the United States.
I was about to say Rick Alvarez for president.
You know, I think I would vote for you because we got to have more Rick Alvarez on the show.
I'm more to make the world go around, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, if you run under the Iron Man mask campaign, you'll definitely win.
I'm thinking of offering Robert Downey Jr. The RDJ or the Ridja as my running mate.
Well,
I think I have a chance.
Yeah. I'm sure next week or in the coming weeks, we'll have more information that's been made available through TFCon this coming weekend. I guess timing just doesn't work out because we broadcast live on Fridays. The show was pretty much just set up on Fridays, and then TFCon's over the weekend. So just kind of keep a lookout on our Twitter page at TFYLP, also on our Facebook page Facebook group. Join up if you haven't. Also check out TFTalk.net, playwiththis2.com, or is it .net? It's .com.
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 Well, we're .com. We're a .com company.
Well, there's also tfylp.com, but it's the same website as tftalk.net. So I just own both of those domains. But check us out at all those places. And if you haven't, please like and subscribe to us on iTunes, YouTube, wherever you consume us. That sounded kind of creepy, but yeah. Yeah. But it is Halloween. Consume us, you know, eat our brains. But I am Daron Land. Along with me has been Chad Williams and Rick Alvarez. Rick, have a great time at TFCon and say hi to everybody for us. Tell Brett and Don and all those slackers that they should have been on the show tonight, slap them for me. Say, you know, you're going to be docked pay or something. Oh, wait a minute. We don't pay. Well, you're going to be docked cred, street cred. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Guys, have a good time. We'll see you next time on TFYLP.
Bye, everybody.
Ciao, baby.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.